Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my co-host, Doug McCary. Doug, Thursday, it's you had a SWAT this morning.
Yes, we did at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. It went awesome. Good group of guys there, and still working through Matthew, so it went awesome. It was good. Yeah, I love that restaurant.
I do, too.
It is such a great place.
We need to tell, you know, we need to try to get Howdy to do some breakfast over there.
Yeah,
did they make those breakfast pizzas for you?
The breakfast pizza. Actually, there's a secret.
Hey, Cody, here we go, man.
There is a secret ingredient in their pizzas that only a select few know about. But I know. I've been entrusted because I'm a former FBI agent with that ingredient information. And I'm just going to tell you, they have some of the best crust in town. It's awesome. So
it's the ingredient.
I'll come to a SWAT study if you tell me.
See, we've been trying to get Cody.
So you'll come for, you won't come for Chick-fil-A, but you'll come for pizza crust?
Hey,
really?
Hey, man cannot live on Chick-fil-A alone.
Oh, my God!
But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Doug, is that not right?
That's true. That's right. Well, I have had a lot of conversations in the last 2 days about what everything that's been dominating the news, this Las Vegas shooter, just being a former FBI agent, all the theories that are floating around out there, the conspiracy theories, and, you know, I mean, everything from, like, I'm trying to think of the name of that movie where Denzel Washington played in the modern version. There was a older version of it, the Manchurian Candidate, where they actually they put a plant inside of your head of these guys and made them robots and, you know, kind of do what they wanted to do to go in and assassinate somebody. To there were two or three people doing it, people mm-hmm. shooting on other floors. You got a million investigators in the United States making calls on what happened, and nobody really knows all the evidence. But the level of distrust for the government, the level of distrust for honesty in the media has fueled a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, nobody really knows what happened, or they know what happened, but they don't know why it happened. And that's the big question that we always ask. And it doesn't matter whether it's this or whatever, why? And they may never really know, although they have at the press conference yesterday, they did talk about, they felt like he had help. They have felt like somebody helped him. Because here's the thing, you don't learn how to use those kind of firearms without there being somebody seeing you use those kind of firearms. There's got to be people that have known that, unless he did it outside of the country somewhere. Because every range I know about, most places have camera systems, most places, because they want to protect themselves, you know?
Sure.
So they've got evidence. Who knows what's there? I'm just glad that a lot of this stuff isn't leaking out, because it means they're investigating. You know, and hopefully they're going to come up and they're going to tell us a lot more information as time moves on. But also been talked to a lot about Jesus coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the signs of the times. You know, he's coming. All these things are happening. And, I was having a conversation with a guy out in Colorado about it. And, you know, he said, Jesus has been coming back for 2,000 years.
Sure.
He told Peter he told Peter, you're going to die. You know, you're going to have to die. I'm going to lead you where you've not led yourself. And that's when Peter turns around and says to John, well, what about him? He says, you don't worry about him. You just worry about you. But Peter, knowing that, still lived every day like it was his last day, mm-hmm. like he would come back. And so for us as believers, we need to be living our life every day as if he's coming back tomorrow with no regrets. And why is it we don't, Brad? What is it about our condition post-salvation, post being reborn of the Spirit, that keeps us from that perspective.
Well, I think the greatest challenge we have, at least in the West, Americans, is the world. The world is very tempting, very tasty. It's got a lot of appeal to it.
You mean the lust of the eyes, exactly, and the lust of the flesh, and exactly, the boastful pride of life?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are things, I mean...
You mean what the Bible says about it?
Exactly. I mean, my own life is that way. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily grind. I mean, I literally walked in here. Sorry, I'm a little wrinkled today. I got a nice crisp white shirt on to go down to a meeting down in St. John's County, and then coming back, I get poured down rain on. And the reality is, you know, I've had some things even happen today that were disappointing, you know, and I can let those things drive me down if I dwell on them. But that's, to me, not what the Lord wants. It doesn't mean that I don't do business and that I'm not occasionally disappointed in how a deal goes. But the reality is, that's not where, you know, I get my identity from. And if I do, I'm in trouble because there's just going to be troubles in the world, right?
Yeah, well, there is. And, you know, I shared that with the guys today about my own life. And I said, you know, I struggle with the uncomfortableness of discipleship too, just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no more comfortable for me to get on an airplane and go, you know, 8,000 miles over and live in a country that for a couple of weeks that I'm not familiar with and eat food that I'm not familiar with. And, you know, it's very different culturally than here. And be away from my family and miss events. And mm-hmm. it's no easier for me than it is for any of us.
Sure.
And so I think sometimes when we look at the disciples and we look back on their lives from here, we tend to elevate them up as being spiritual giants when really they were very much like you and I, but they were infused with the Spirit and they surrendered to the Spirit. But I'm sure they had many conversations like you and I have had where we just talk about how difficult it is sometimes to walk through our world. Now, granted, you know, for John Monger, you know, just to bring him up as a guy mm-hmm. who was in prison for 18 months and he was beaten every day for his faith, and he had to make some very tough choices. They said, you can walk out of here. He didn't have to decide, you know, how much time he was going to spend at the office today. He didn't have to decide how much time he was going to spend just wasting time on his computer today. He didn't have to spend time thinking about his kids' education fund. He didn't have time to think about all the other distractions that you and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when you have those kind of things taken out, we think it'll be a lot easier. But they're just as difficult in third world situations as it is here as first world. And their situations are life and death.
Well, in John's case, you're talking about the difference between getting beaten.
Possibly to death.
And not getting beaten. Well, yeah. I don't know. If I've got that choice, you know, just speaking of our flesh, well, I'd rather not get beaten.
Especially when they're saying, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if that's the beating that's going to take your life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're fooling ourselves if we think we'll die for Jesus if we don't live for him on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I have beat this over. I mean, we've just overly beat this thing down, but we are a mile and a half, 5 miles wide and mm-hmm. a quarter of an inch deep in this country. We've done such a tremendous job of diluting what God wants to do with those he calls to himself and how he wants to use us. We've minimized I can't imagine the Marine Corps doing to recruitment what we've done to sharing the gospel out with people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the kind of people, the recruits they would see at the recruit depot if they did to their recruiting what the church has done with the gospel? And that's why
there's not a Marine that if you asked, hey, what does it mean to be a Marine, they wouldn't talk about the intensity, the extreme grind of that.
Well, the
life.
Breaking down. What,
sure.
You're broken down and then built up again. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what God wants to do. But a lot of people want to respond to the gospel without the breaking process.
Right.
they want to respond to the gospel as only a means to make their life better, to solve their temporary and immediate problems that they have.
It is a means to an eternal end.
Yes.
That, this is my ticket.
It's very human-centered, Brad.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to look at my notes because you shared something yesterday that I wanted to. But keep talking. I was just made me think of something you said yesterday.
I want us to jump in today, and I want us to jump into the Matthew 8:18-22 passage, because we've been toying around it, and yesterday we kind of got distracted, but I really want to go back to the godliness of our priorities, because the second man said he would follow Jesus, but first let me go bury my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you first hear that sounds, awful what Jesus said. Hey, let the dead go bury the dead. That's his response to the guy who says, hey, I want to follow you, but first, I need to go bury my dad. But the indication there and the way it's written is his dad was not dead yet.
Right.
And every child would feel a responsibility, especially in that culture, to take care of their father and then give them the proper burial. And then he would get his inheritance. He would have some security. He could even take that money and use it to help Jesus in the mission. All kind of rationalizations. But what he did that Jesus highlighted was he qualified following him. And I think we don't like it when we talk about qualifying. People talk about that's adding works to salvation, that's adding works to the gospel. No. When Jesus calls you to himself, when you really understand who he is and you understand the deadly disease you have called sin, then you know that nothing is more important than being with him. Nothing. So much so that even in the Old Testament, in Daniel, when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, mm-hmm. in Daniel 3 were in the fire, and it says one like a son of God was in the fire with them. Many people believe it was the incarnate Jesus, the precarnate Jesus before he came into flesh. They didn't want to get out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar had to scream at him, hey, come out of the fire, because they thought it would be better to be in the fire with Jesus than outside of the fire away from him. Mm. When you understand who he is and what he offers you, nothing will keep you from following him if you really understand it and grasp it.
Mm. Well, we're talking about this idea. God calls us to weigh the genuineness of our pursuit in following Christ. He calls us to weigh the godliness of our priorities in following Christ and the gravity of our passion in following Christ. We're going to jump back into this after the break. If you want to join us this afternoon, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, it's 1-844-777-7928. Check us out at SWATradio.com. You can download our app and listen to it. Right there on your phone. So join us after the break, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store, or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on The Truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Little Peter Cetera there coming in with Doug doing the backups. Good job, Doug.
I love a line in that, you know, we do it all for the glory of love. And when you stop and think about God's love for us and what he's done for us, and you're grateful for that, you want to serve him. It has nothing to do with earning favor. It's nothing to do with earning your place. It's out of love that you want to do for him. Out of love, you want to know him better. Out of love, you want to tell people about him. And that's why it's so bizarre to me, Brad, that people who say they love him and don't spend time in the Word, people who love him and say they never have told anybody about Jesus, How can you love something and never share it with anybody? You guys laugh at me with Peter Cetera. I love listening to Peter Cetera, and I tell you about it. Why?
And you sing about
it. Yeah, I sing about it because I love it. I do. I like that. I like the music. Right. So to say that you love something and you never talk about it to anybody, can you really truly love it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, has it led to a changed life?
Mm-hmm.
Doug, there was something you said yesterday, and I've wrote it down, that, paraphrasing clearly, but most people want to be right with God, but they don't want to be empowered to his service. I don't know if you remember saying that, but I thought that is so true. Most of it is kind of the ends to the means, you know, or the means to the end. You know, I want to get right with God, so I'll do what I need to do to be right with God, but don't push me to do anything for him.
Well, that's because the view is very me-centered, and our approaches to sharing the gospel have played into that. Instead of starting with a God-centered gospel that says he created you, and he created you for relationship and dependence upon him, he did not create us to act independently of him. He didn't. He created us to be in relationship where we would depend on him. And because of our selfishness and our self-ledness, that relationship was broken. When Eve said, I choose to disobey you and your wisdom because I'm going to do what I want to do and I bite that fruit, she could have eaten of any other tree in the whole garden, and she was told one tree not to eat. And now every human, think about what that unleashed in the world, that one decision. Not that any of us would have made a different one.
No, you're right.
But that one decision, think about all the evil. What happened in Las Vegas, it can directly be traced back to that one choice to choose other. And, you know, I see this all the time. We were talking about the soils and SWAT. We're going to go over that on the radio next week. But how many times do you, Brad, go out and you offer opportunities for people to respond to an opportunity to either be closer in relationship with God or to have an opportunity to serve God in some way, and nobody, they don't consider it. They basically, there's like, no, I don't want to do that. They don't even pray about it. They don't talk to God about it. They don't see if it's from God. They just look at their calendar. They look at their life. They go, no, you know what? I'm not really up for that.
Yeah, I'm tied up.
And especially as men, when we start talking about a Paul-Timothy relationship, an accountability relationship, men like to hide.
Oh, yeah.
And they hide because of the human condition. They hide because we have things in our life that we feel like we don't want anybody to know.
Well, you're getting into what I'm going to talk about next week at SWAT is the fact that we're not just calling men to come to a Bible study. We've talked about this super wide, super shallow spirituality.
Yeah.
That's not the gospel. That's not Christianity. Just like me saying, hey, what's it like to be a Marine? You're going to go into depth about it with some passion because you've done it. You've walked that out. You ask most people what it means to be a Christian, I think most people would say, they couldn't give you a clear answer.
They
probably
just kind of stutter through it, yeah. because unfortunately a lot of people live their walk with Jesus through other people's walk.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they get their encouragement for how other people really follow, mm-hmm. but in their own life, they're not willing to talk about it. You know, one of the things I shared today at the Bible study that I thought was, and you know, it's so neat when you're teaching sometimes and you spend a lot of time in the Word and you read a lot of other passages, how God and his sovereignty will just bring something to your mind and go, okay, here's a good application part for this. And I was thinking about Peter. Have you ever thought when God called Peter, he said, your name's going to be Petrus, mm-hmm. the rock,
mm-hmm.
who he was talking to? I mean, think about that. Peter was the most unstable, probably, of all the disciples. He was the most quick to act,
yes.
without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was nothing like a rock about Peter,
mm-hmm.
in his flesh. But what Jesus saw and what he prophesied in that is saying, you're the rock.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a rock. And I think that's why Peter wept so bitterly that night, is because all those things that he did prior to that, I guarantee you, I've been in situations where I've looked back at my life and I've seen all my failures, and in my pride, I was trying to do spiritual things. I was trying to do religious things. And when I really got knocked down, like broken, then you're able to see, you know, wow, that's not what God wants. You know, and yet his mercy is so good, because he said, Peter, Satan's asked to sift you. When you return, strengthen your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And he made him the leader. Peter was the leader of that group.
Yeah.
A most unlikely leader. See, our biggest problem for us in this first world country we live in as believers is we try to calculate and control our risk way too much. And Jesus said, listen, to the first guy, you really want to follow me? How genuine is your pursuit of following me? How are you, you know, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And what he's saying is, it's not going to be comfortable. But then he goes into this second man, this guy goes, hey, first let me, and immediately you see him qualify the lordship of Jesus. He says, I'm going to follow you, but first I got to go do this.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, first seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah, first seek the kingdom. He didn't even ask Jesus, you know, what do you think? He just said, no, first can I go do this? Like, I let me go bury my dad. And he said, you know, listen, let the dead bury the dead. And then over in Luke, he says, you go proclaim the kingdom. Jesus sets our priorities, not us.
I was going to say, I think we tend to think the terms are negotiable. They're not negotiable.
They're not.
I've tried to negotiate those terms many times in my life.
When you surrender, you do not set the terms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like the term surrender when we follow Christ rather than commit. When you commit, you're saying what I'm going to do. When you surrender, you're yielding to a greater power.
Yeah.
And I just think that as we think about what it means to follow Jesus, God calls us to weigh the godliness of our priorities. And let me just ask, if you're listening out there, whether you're a businessman, whether you're somebody who's retired, or whether you're a mom in line picking up her kids at school, when you have an opportunity to serve God, to give to a kingdom opportunity, or to be used of God in any way, is your first response to calculate if you can fit that in your schedule, if you can fit it in your budget, or is your first response to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do here? Because as we get opportunities, there's a lot of times God brings opportunities in our life, and I'm absolutely convinced, Brad, that we push them out of our life because we go, no, that won't fit into my priorities.
Yeah, that's not my plan. You know, I think I was thinking you were talking about Peter, and, you know, unfortunately, we tend to look at Peter, you know, prior to Pentecost, not post Pentecost, not, you know, who Peter was before the Holy Spirit, and then who Peter was after the Holy Spirit. I mean, he was the, you know, once he was empowered by the Spirit of God, he was the leader of the 12. He was the preacher to the multitudes. He was the apostle to the Sanhedrin and the teacher of the early church. And, you know, yet I feel like so oftentimes we view ourselves as, you know, who we've been, not who God wants to make us into.
Yeah, that you're exactly right.
Well, to do that requires surrender. Because I don't know, you know, at 54 years old, I hadn't figured this out yet. And yet when I give my life over to Christ and let him do the work in me, mm-hmm. you know, boy, I mean, we can try all we want. We're going to be miserably, you know, messed up.
Yeah, we are. And especially if we do not say yes to him. My wife has a plate in our house and it says, "Yes, Lord." Mm. And because anything else is really, you can't say no, Lord. Because if you say no, Lord, you're saying no to him who's the Lord.
Well, I'm thinking of the scripture. You talk about things that are in people's house. You know, that famous scripture, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there needs to be something else under that says, as long as it goes with my plan, mm-hmm. we will serve the Lord if it's, you know, fits into my schedule or if it fits into my budget.
Well, I started praying the Shema with the guys at SWAT, mm-hmm. which is Deuteronomy 6. And it's, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might," or all your strength. And what that means is when you love him with all those things, that you recognize that he's in charge. He is God. He's our God. And when he calls you to do something, it's not a request normally. Now, he's so gracious and merciful, he will let us deviate.
Wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he usually disciplines us and brings us back.
There are consequences. Hey, yes. Listen, this is weighty stuff. You want to join us? Call us 904-401-1413. Call us toll free at 1-844-777-7928. Check us out at SWATradio.com.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston. Listener supported. The Truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In the wake of the Las Vegas massacre, the National Rifle Association is calling on the federal government to review whether bump stocks comply with the law and whether they should be subject to further regulation. That device allows a semi-automatic weapon to be fired like an automatic one. Republican Congressman Carlos Garrello says he's working with Democrats to regulate bump stocks.
There's already a lot of momentum on the Republican side of the aisle for sensible restrictions when it comes to these devices.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
We know that both members of both parties in multiple organizations are planning to take a look at bump stocks and related devices. We certainly welcome that, would like to be part of that conversation.
Sanders describing President Trump as a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. Also at SRNnews.com, Florida Governor Rick Scott urging residents of his state to keep an eye on Tropical Storm Nate, currently off the coast of Nicaragua.
The storm has the potential to become a hurricane and impact the Florida Panhandle this weekend, and families must be ready.
Daniel Brown at the National Hurricane Center says the governor's concern is well-founded.
It is certainly possible that the system could approach the northern Gulf Coast as a hurricane over the weekend.
The House will take up the latest request for disaster relief next week.
Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
The White House has sent up a supplemental, and I do not believe this will be the last.
The package includes another $12.8 billion for hurricane relief, $16 billion for the flood insurance program, and money for the devastating wildfires throughout the West.
There's roughly $577 million there.
And the officials say more money will be needed.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 94 points, the NASDAQ 43 points higher. This is SRN News.
The off-ramp left lane still blocked with a crash on 295, the north ramp to Blanding Boulevard. The Shands Bridge, bad multi-vehicle crash right there, and traffic is congested on 295 south beyond Bay Meadows. It's backed up till Butler. Chance of showers in the forecast, 74 tonight, 84 tomorrow with a chance of rain, 75 Friday night, 88 partly cloudy Saturday, scattered thunderstorm Sunday.
Back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my co-host Doug McCary, my comrade, my man in the trenches, my battle buddy.
Hey, I'm really excited about one aspect of SWAT. Is starting in November, we're kicking off into the Paul Timothy relationships of the Every Man a Warrior study, and we have 25 guys signed up for that so far, so I'm real excited about that.
Very excited about that, no doubt about it.
You know, Brad, as we're looking at we're looking at this second man who, the first guy was too quick. Hey, I'll follow you anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Jesus puts up the, really? You were going to do that? This guy is a little too slow. I'll follow you, but let me first go do this. And
let me think about that. Let me see if that fits into my schedule or, yeah.
I want you to think back in your life. How many times has God presented an opportunity for you, and because of indecision and wavering, that opportunity went away?
I don't even want to think about how many times that's happened, really.
Because indecision is a decision, you know that.
Yeah. I was thinking, Doug, you know, I can look back now. I've been in Jacksonville 20 years. I tell people, you know, when I talk about Jacksonville 20 years ago, I could barely point to a map where Jacksonville, Florida was. I knew it was in Florida. I didn't know where in Florida it was. And I remember if we understand God is sovereign, he is directing us where he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, and he'll get
not
us
not necessarily
there,
where we want to be.
and he will get you there, but it may be a rough road.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at a business opportunity out here in Jacksonville. I didn't even come out here. In fact, I remember telling my wife, I'm meeting with these guys about a business they want me to be a part of. And I remember, it was like it was yesterday. This was 21 years ago. I went and had lunch with these guys. I came back, and my wife, Vicky, said, hey, how did that go? And I went, oh, it went great. And she said, what do they want? And they go, oh, it's nothing. It's a business out in Florida they want me to do. And she says, well, what do you think? And I said, well, what do you think I thought? No way. You know, I'm a Texan. Texans don't leave Texas usually. And you know what she told me?
What?
How do you know that's not what you're supposed to do? Well, I didn't want to hear that. You know? She said, why don't we pray about it? We just built a new house.
Our wives, man, what is the deal? That prayer thing, man, they just throw it up there so flippantly in our face, like, you know, you need, why don't you pray? And then you feel this big knife go right in your heart. You're like, I think of that?
But you know what, Doug? I mean, I had all the reasons why that wasn't going to work. We had just built a new house, just had a new baby. Nothing added up for that to work because, you know, I don't know if you're like this. I know I am. You've been in ministry long enough. You're a lot more probably what I would call moldable, you know, because you've seen God work. And I think as a business person, I can tend to put my stake in the ground and go, no, this is it, you know. And over the years,
I think people do that in ministry too. Oh, Brad, you get locked in. I shared it with the guys today. As men, especially, when we see something down the road, we think, okay, God's leading us here, and we go, okay, now I think I know where he's going.
Yeah.
And we get really comfortable headed toward that place, and then he throws a curve in our road, And we go, what? Yeah. No, we're supposed to be going there.
Yeah, this formula, yeah, I'm really gifted in that area. I really like these kind of people. This is, you know, it's like we start to project what we think God is doing.
Exactly right. And that's why prayer has to be, even though our wives told us, it has to be the first thing you do with any opportunity. Mm. I don't care what is on your calendar. I don't care what you've scheduled and how many years ahead of time you scheduled it. If an opportunity comes into your life, you have to ask, God, do you want me to do this? Even though it might mean, even though I've done something else and I've got something else prepared, maybe I need to be over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember sitting up with my wife, talking about the business opportunity that was out here, and we committed that we were going to pray for 2 weeks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the guys who had invited me, you know, to be a part of it kept calling me. And I kept telling – initially, I told them I absolutely was not interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Literally at lunch, I told – I mean, you know, I think about things that, you know, I've been invited to even ministry-wise where I just flat out said no.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it. Why can't you do it?
Yeah,
I guess. Your schedule.
Got too many other things going on.
But did you pray about it?
No.
No, you just made an arbitrary decision,
absolutely,
right? Based on whose priority. See, that's what I'm saying. This guy, I love, you know who Alexander McLaren is?
Yes.
I mean, I think, is it Alexander? I don't remember if it's Alexander or not. It's Alexander McLaren. He was this old Scottish preacher. He's got a commentary, and he gives a little commentary on this guy, the second guy. His contention is the guy was sincere. He was really sincere. I mean, there was no bad motive.
The second guy.
Yeah, the second guy who's saying, let me go bury my father. He goes, he was sincere in his petition, and even in the promise that when it was over, when he buried his dad, he was going to come follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He says he meant it out and out. If he had not, he might have received a different treatment from Jesus because, you know, he would have ceased to be the valuable example and lesson that he is to us today. But here's a guy who's sincere, who believes himself to have obeyed in the spirit, but he's only hindered from obeying in the outward act by an imperative duty, or means something required that even a barbarian would have thought was the right thing to do. In other words, what he's saying is even a pagan would have thought, you know, it's the most important thing to stay and bury your dad. After all, that's what's, you know, that's the most important thing. And yet Jesus Christ read this guy and read him better than the guy read himself. And he surfaces what we're all tempted with. We're all tempted to place our own evaluation of a situation above God's priorities. Because you and me, we all have priorities. Everybody lives every day. They prioritize what they do in the day. And so when you set out your schedule for the day and God brings an opportunity into your day, what's your first response? Is it to pray or is it to just say, I can't do it? Because even after teaching on this, not once but twice, I still have guys that I've talked to, and their first response is, I can't because of, without saying, you know what, I'm going to pray. And if nothing else, if God can use this to teach us to simply go to him in prayer every time there's an opportunity, and you go, well, that's not practical. How's it not practical?
Well, I mean,
how is it not? Tell me, Brad. How is it not practical to do that?
Let me tell you what happens. And I mean, this is me. This is our habit, I will say. If you ask, you know, I had a guy text me earlier today. Hey, let's do lunch Tuesday, or let's do lunch Friday. First thing I do is get my calendar out.
Let me see if I can work in.
Yeah. Well, that also goes right into ministry, gospel opportunities, kingdom opportunities. The first thing we look at is our calendar. We don't look vertically to the Lord. We look horizontally. We look to our calendar.
Exactly.
We look horizontally.
Yeah.
Well, I've got all these other things going on here. No, I can't do that because it doesn't fit within all the things I've got going on.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, well, maybe God wants me to do that and do away with all this other stuff.
Well, see, our natural tendency, and I had to fight this early on in ministry because it's so natural in our in who we are. You get an invitation to go do a men's retreat in Nebraska, and it's 30 men. And you have an opportunity to go speak to 2,000 men in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say, like, Aspen, Colorado.
No. But I'm just talking.
I'd have to really pray about
I'm
that
talking
one.
About numbers. In yeah. our humanness, we go, well, it's a better stewardship for me to go to the 2,000 men because there's more guys listening to what I'm saying. It's a better use of my time rather than go all the way to Nebraska for 30 men. You know, that's just that's a no-brainer. But what if God wants you to go up to the 30? Let me just tell you, in Mark 1:35, Jesus had been doing an incredible day of ministry. The whole town was coming, and he withdraws away to a mountain to pray. And when he comes back, the disciples are like, we've been looking everywhere for you. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And he goes, listen, we have to go to other villages. And the word that's used there, I think it's only used once in the whole New Testament, maybe twice, and it means an unwalled village. And the word unwalled, the unwalled, for a village not to have a wall meant it wasn't even important enough to build a defensive wall around it. So Jesus left this major metropolitan area where ministry was incredible to go to this other place to preach the gospel that didn't even have a wall around it. Why? Because that was the priority of the Father. He had spent time with the Father, and that's where the Father wanted to go. And so for us, we should learn from that. Don't ever let money, schedule, what you think is important be the dictating factor. Always praying, God, where do you want me to go? And give me some affirming signs. And he will do that. But a lot of times, you know what we do? We discount the affirming signs.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, I think of Jesus and the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, that was not common to go through Samaria.
No,
it wasn't. And yet he said, that's where we're going. Because he even said, I think I'll have to look at it, that we've got a meeting there.
He went there, and it was a divine appointment there. Yeah, we miss a lot of those. Here's the other thing, when we bring up excuses and we don't follow through, there's always something else that can distract us.
Mm-hmm.
You can always have excuses. So, you know, I hope people listening are encouraged by this. You know, if you don't have the SWAT Radio app, you can go to the App Store, Google Play Store, and download it and listen to everything and more. There's videos on there. There's blogs on there. So we'd love for you to do that. And we come back. We're in the last segment, Brad.
Excellent. Call us, 904-401-1413. You're outside the Jacksonville area, 1-844-777-7928.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. Listen, that music always kind of, I just want it to keep going.
I heard yesterday when the Congress had, Steve Scalise was doing it, he played that music.
Oh,
man.
Really?
Yeah, they were playing that. I think, isn't that Eye of the Tiger or Survivor? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he played that the other day. So, hey, you know, Brad, we were talking about the godliness of priorities in that second guy, and I want to go back to real quick this guy, because he wanted to go bury his father, and I can't emphasize enough, this was a good thing. This was not some, oh, I'm going to go follow the way of the world thing. This was a good priority to have, but it was not the God priority. And a lot of times I think we supplant the God priorities with good priorities.
Sure.
Because we're not in tune with the Spirit, and we're not being obedient. And the only way I think that happens is you continue, you know, people go, how do you know what God wants you to do? You spend time with him. You spend time in his word. You spend time praying and listening. You know, our lives are so busy and so full of noise. When's the last time you got away, if you're listening, and quiet? And you just read the word. I can't tell you. I'm reading the word in the morning, and I'm sitting there in the quietness of my house, and I'll read a passage of scripture, and God will immediately take me to a situation I'm dealing with, or something somebody's talked to me about, or something I'm wrestling with in my own mind, and it'll either be an encouragement to me not to do something, or an encouragement to me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't emphasize enough, spending time in the Word regularly and alone with God, listening. You know,
after the tragedy in Las Vegas, we woke up and read about it, and then Doug, for the first time in a long time, I turned on, I'm not going to mention the network, but you can probably imagine the network I turned on, just because I wanted to kind of see what was going on. And it's kind of like when the hurricane was coming, we were talking about when the hurricanes were coming, you get glued to the Weather Channel. And
yeah,
I mean, how many times do you need to see the track of the hurricane? It's coming.
but it's like we become fixated.
You're zombies. You literally just can't get away from it. And I, that night, after probably spending way more time in front of the TV than I have in a long time, I began to have this discussion with my wife about, no wonder there's so much hatred in our world today, because most people, Christians included, are having their minds renewed by whatever 24-hour news wants to put in front of you.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, and we need to exercise it. Which means we probably need to turn that stuff off and really weigh out, where am I renewing my mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is my spiritual diet? What am I feeding on? And again, I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm just saying, how much of it do we really need? Do we need it 24 hours a day?
Yeah, I don't. I agree with exactly what you're bringing out there about the fixation we have. What if we are fixated on Christ like that?
Right.
I mean, that's the real issue for us. I love, you know, one commentator brings out the Aramaic, the underlying Aramaic language of this verse dealing with the godliness of our priorities, this disciple. And what it says in the Aramaic is, let the waverers bury the dead. The waverers, those who are wavering, let those who are in between,
not fully committed,
they're not committed, or let those. That's what it says. I mean, and what it is, it's a warning against missing the boat.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first I got to go do this.
It's like, and it's like that picture of having one foot on the dock, one foot on the boat.
Let me tell you,
you can't have them both.
There is always an excuse for anything that you don't want to do. You can always find an excuse. You know, and the issue is, it's not going to be easy. He is not calling us. And I take people back. I think it's Matthew 10. Is it Matthew 10 where Jesus says, if you love your child more than me, your daughter more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple? Is that Matthew 10? I think it's Matthew 10. Real quick, I want to read that passage because I think that's a huge problem, Brad, in today's culture. There are people who have elevated family. Yeah, Matthew 10:34. I think we read it last week. Mm-hmm. He says, do not think that I've come to bring peace. I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I mean, that's harsh. That is strong. And that takes us to the third guy over in Luke chapter 9 that says, hey, I want to go say goodbye to mom and dad. You know, it's the guy who says, let me go. And I think that comes from back over in 1 Kings when Elijah, you know, Elisha, when he was, God said, Elijah, I want you to go take Elisha and mentor him and train him, throw your mantle on him. And Elisha has his hands on a plow. And he says, can I go say goodbye to my parents first? And I think it's like a year later. Elijah goes, sure. He goes and he comes back and then he takes him a year later. So this guy's request is not unreasonable. But again, he is qualifying the lordship and following of Jesus, what it means to follow him, by saying, hey, let me first go do this. And Jesus is like, you don't understand the priority right here. The priority is right now. If you want to follow me, you come right now. This is the chance. This is the opportunity. And I think for a lot of us, we keep saying, yeah, I want to follow you, but I want to follow you. First, let me go do this. I had this mentality, Brad, when I got in the FBI. My thinking was, you know what? I'm going to do a 20-year career in the FBI. I'm going to keep doing ministry as an FBI agent. I can speak at church and I can share the gospel with people. And I'll do my 20 years. Then I'll get a retirement. I'll have my financial security set for my family. I still have all these benefits. And then God says, no, Doug, I want you to go into ministry now at the four-year mark. And I tell you, when that happened, man, I'm sitting there going, but okay, now? Like, if I go now, I lose my insurance. If I go now, I don't get any retirement. I mean, I've already got 13 years of government service. You know, I can't really retire and for another 19 years. I think it was 17 years at that point. So I'm like, if I just put another 17, I'll only be 50, and then I'll have 20, 30 years to give to you, Lord. But he says, no, I want you to follow me now. And I remember a guy telling me, you know, there's a lot of competition for money out there. I mean, it's going to be really hard for you to raise your support. So I was getting all this help and thinking about this. And you know what? God never missed a paycheck for me. He never missed taking care of my family. He always provided everything I needed. And I'm going to tell you, he has done a work over the last 23 years. And it has been unbelievable to watch how he has changed my heart as I've said yes. And I've said this earlier many times, that when you say yes to God, he keeps bringing more light to you. He keeps refining you. He keeps doing what he did to Peter. He'll do it. He did it in me. He's done it in you. He'll do it in the people listening. The more you say yes to him, the more he conforms you to the image of Christ. And even when you say no, he does it. It's just a lot more painful, I think. You know, like you were talking earlier.
Well, we were talking about this at SWAT. I don't want to dig into it because we're going to really hash it all out next week. But talking about the soils, and I made some notes in my journal yesterday as we were going through that, that I think being transformed into the image of Christ is going to be some tilling of the soil of our heart. You know, not just one time where the seed came into the soil, but it's continual. you know, it's like a good gardener continues to prune and till and fertilize. You know, good gardening requires constant maintenance.
And he's going to prune us, just like he says in John 15.
He's the gardener.
He is.
And our hearts are his garden.
That's exactly right.
And if you expect that you're going to bear fruit in your life, spiritual fruit in your life, apart from any tilling, any weeding, any pruning, any hot sun or any, you know, rain, that ain't going to happen.
No, he is definitely going to do that. And I keep, you know, in this passage, again, go back. How bad do we want to be like Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
How bad do we want to be like him? And so the one thing, instead of asking yourself whether you believe or not, ask whether you have done one thing today because he said do it, or not done something because he said don't do it. It's absurd to say you believe or you want to believe if you do not obey. Now, you know, that being said, we're going to keep looking at this, Brad, for the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And but tomorrow we've got a very special guest, Conrad Doss, who actually he and I did the first radio thing out in Texas. And when we did a men's program, and I want to play just a short clip of his story. He's going to be on tomorrow the whole time. And so this is Conrad Doss. He's going to be our guest tomorrow.
I always just saw a failure when I looked at myself in the mirror. There's a perceived reality that I look great on the outside, but I was really struggling on the inside. My parents had high standards of behavior for us. They expected a lot. But I was always thinking that I was always not meeting their expectations, and I always felt like that I was failing at everything. No matter how great the success was, or how many accolades I got, or how many trophies I won, or stars I got on my jersey, it was always a sense that it wasn't enough. From the time that I was from probably the age of 5 to the age of 45, I felt like that I was a failure almost every day of my life.
Conrad spent years being consumed by perfectionism, and I mean, he has got a powerful story. I'm not going to steal this thunder tomorrow. We'll have him on. It's a great program. I'd love for you to tune in tomorrow and listen to Conrad's story.
Please join us tomorrow. By the way, if you don't have the app, go to SWAT Radio, or go to the Google app or whatever those things
are. Google Play Store.
Yeah. Hey, listen, just download it, SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading his truth.